spent the entire morning into the afternoon. I think at 3 o'clock we were able to say, it is finished. For ever since we moved into our house, we wanted to have one of those over-the-hood microwaves because, hey, there's a space for an over-the-hood microwave. Just saying, please put a microwave here. Second, because the microwave is on the counter. And ladies, we all know we don't want stuff on our counters, right? We want to do stuff on our counters. We don't want stuff on our counters. So he knew, like from the beginning of time, he knew that this was going to be a horrible job. So he said, this is it. This is the year we're going to do this thing. I mean, A, measuring it, making sure. Did you know that there is a huge discrepancy between the measurement of 29 and 9/18 of an inch? There is a huge discrepancy in that. You can go to some stores and it is not 29 and 9/18. And we found that out. We found that actually Bosch was the only one that was telling the truth. Everybody else was just fibbing to us. So there we are. We're measuring. I mean, you can imagine measuring, make sure. And he says, I think it should work. Okay? I think it should work. Those are the words that strike fear into the heart of man, right? That I think it should work. And so we bought it on the basis that we can bring it back, can't we, if it doesn't work? Thanks. Good. And yesterday, with much wailing and a gnashing of teeth, it went up. I say that because it would have helped if we could have taken the tiles off the back wall. We have tiles. That would have made it all the more easier, but no. It would appear that whoever put the tiles up, you know, all credit to them, put them up with something that is either associated with kryptonite or something, because there is no way those tiles are ever coming off. And the one tile that did brought down all the drywall with it. Okay, so it's like, oh, now we have a huge 3-inch hole in our wall and a tile in our hands. So we put that in, and then we just glued it all back together, and he put it in. It went in, it came out. More wood was cut. It went in, it came out, more wood was cut. It went in, it went out, more wood was cut. And you can imagine, this is a heavy thing. We're talking two people, propping underneath, all of that stuff. And then at one point, he says, okay, here we go, we're going to put it up. I'm going up the top of the ladder. I'm going to look over the cabinets. You're going underneath, so I'm underneath. And the microwave is slightly tilted towards me. And as I'm standing there, the big block of wood that is supposed to be up and being screwed into slides towards me, like towards my nose. Now, it's a big nose, but I'm also very sensitive about it. So I turn, and it hits me right here. Ba-dang! I don't know if you knew this, but there is an instant cry mechanism in you that if you get hit really hard by a piece of wood sliding towards you at probably about 0.1 miles per hour, but if you do, you immediately start to cry. So I'm holding up a microwave, and I'm crying. I'm like, and he's like, he's up the ladder, and he's like, are you all right? And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just crying. And Casey's running around, and he's holding onto my leg, and I'm thinking, if this isn't the most bizarre-looking thing, I'm sobbing, he's on a ladder, my son is on my leg going, are you all right, Mommy? And I'm like, I'm fine. But for some reason, but there is your useless fact of the day. If you get hit there, about there, by a plank of wood, traveling at a small momentum, you will cry. Anyway, moving on, it is in there. Hallelujah. The only thing that is slightly bothering my husband, and he realized he might have a little bit of an OCD issue, is that the display on the microwave is red, and the display on our cooker is green. Now, it doesn't sound like much, but yeah. I'm not bothered. I'm like, I've got a microwave in, and it's not on my... But he's like, oh, it's bugging me. He's walking past, it's bugging me, it's red, and that's green. I'm like, ooh, your OCD is showing there a little bit. But anyways, so when you see my husband, I want you to say, well done on the microwave. Because he didn't want to do it. He did it because he loves me. Because really, I don't think he cares if there's a microwave above the cooker or not. He just, you know. He did it because he knew I wanted it. And I just wanted to tell you that to honor him. And also because it was kind of funny. Okay. Pursuing God personal. Pursuing his kingdom, pursuing God. It's a personal thing. It's a relationship. Any of you ever been in a relationship? Any of you wanting to be in a relationship? Any of you still in a relationship? Hey! We know that pursuing that person, it's a very personal thing. Being in a relationship takes time. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. But it is so worth it. Okay? How do we give more to God? Because that's the relationship we're talking about. We're not talking about love. We can talk about love, but that's another day. But today we're talking about what God says about pursuing the relationship with him. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Seems pretty simple. For this is God's will and for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray continually. How do we do that? How do we rejoice always? Joy is a choice. It's not a feeling. And it's very important. You may not feel joy. You choose to express it. And joy is very much linked into our happiness. "But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful." So it implies that by rejoicing comes joy. It doesn't say you have joy, therefore you rejoice. I mean, we can do that. When we're happy, we definitely want to go and praise God about it. But it says, praise God, rejoice, praise God. Then the joy comes. And after that, the happiness comes. In Habakkuk 3:17. Now, this is a bit of a killer verse for anybody, because I'm sure everyone at some point in their lives can reference to this. When it may not be talking about olive fields and figs, but you know what it's leading to. Habakkuk 3:17. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, no food in the house, no provisions. Though the olive crop fails," that's your business, "and the fields produce no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Just have a little look over that. Now that to me is a killer verse, because it's the story of Job. It's the story of Paul and Silas. It's the story of every person in the Bible. It's even the story of the modern martyrs. You know, though they are strapped to electrodes and electrocuted, though they are whipped and beaten, yet will they praise God. Now, I mean, I know that in this modern world, we have it pretty easy. We have it pretty easy. We may have situations of dire need in terms of our prosperity, but we have freedom. And it's not likely that some big burly person is going to knock on our door, rip us from our family, and torture us to death. So in that respect, I thank God for that, you know. And if you don't have anything to thank God for, start with that one. Because I think that's a fairly good equalizer in this room. Because that is the one thing we can be fairly sure of. It is possible to rejoice when things are going bad, because it's a choice. God loves when we choose him, even when it looks like he's not involved in our lives. So when things are looking bad, we tend to think, God clearly is not involved in my life, because of course everything would be fabulous. If God was involved in my life, everything would be fabulous and there would be no problems. Wrong. He doesn't promise that. He doesn't promise that everything will be okay and neutral, because of course that doesn't develop anything in us as a person. We know that there are valleys of shadows of death that we will walk through. We know that there are times and seasons of unpleasantness. But he says he will be with us in those times and he won't forsake us. He doesn't say you'll never have them. We have we're promised abundant life. But our abundant life can be abundant in the middle of some incredible struggles. Now, I'm saying this not because, you know, I've had, I look at my life and I am thankful to God for my life because I've got some fabulous things going on in my life. But I have buried three people, three fabulous people. I've buried my mother, my father, and my baby. And I'm not trying to say, therefore, you know, I deserve to have a pity party. I'm saying that despite those things, I was able to choose joy. I was able to choose joy because it was offered to me. We can choose to have a pity party, and no one would blame you. No one would blame you for any of those things. You know, when my dad died, I was 17 years old and 2 weeks before my final exams. No one would have blamed me for giving up. No one would have said, you know, Jill, you could get to university, but maybe just put it off for a year and do it again later because your dad's just died. I decided there and then, no, God loves me. God loves my dad. My dad wanted me to do well. I'm just going to give it all to him. I'm just going to keep going. And you know what? I could not be, of course I cried. I cried for like a week after my dad died. Every moment I saw an older man, because he was an older gentleman, I'd cry. I still do that now. Of course I do. But it's not a pain. It's more of an ache. It's a little ache in my heart. And the same is true of my mom. You know, my mom died when my daughter was 4 months old. The daughter that she had longed for me to have, the child that she had longed for me to have, she didn't get to see beyond 4 months. When I told her I was pregnant, I told her like this. So if I was ever pregnant, Mom, what would you like to be called? And I said, do you want to be called Nana or Grandma? Because those were the two common names. Oh, she said Grandma. I said, okay, Grandma, I've got some news for you. That was so special to me. And it was so horribly, horribly sad that I never got to share Sophie with her. Because I know that Sophie and her would have gotten on so, so well. So I'm telling you these things because sometimes people can say, you know, well, you know, you had it okay. I'm having a really hard time right now. And I can only use the really big examples. Again, like when I lost my son. It was a horrible experience. I was 7.5 months pregnant. I was expecting, we were doing a dry rehearsal of going to the hospital. And on the way to church, I noticed that I hadn't had any movement in my belly. And I thought, oh, that's okay. When I get back home, I'm going to just have a lie down. Well, one reason or another, that didn't happen. I ended up going into the hospital just to check why the movement had stopped. And we found out that our baby boy, Ashton, had his movements had stopped and his heart rate had gone from 150 beats per minute to 50. So they did an emergency C-section on me right there. And he was born dead, and they revived him. But it took 15 minutes to revive him. And I don't, you can imagine that as a result of that, he was a very damaged little boy. Sick kids came to take him to the hospital, and they told me he's too sick. So when Sick Kids tells you your baby's too sick to take to Sick Kids, you listen, right? So we decided that if he was going to die, we wanted him to die in our arms. We took him off the ventilator and we prayed. We prayed and we prayed. And I remember that there was a video camera on me. Somebody was videoing me and I couldn't care less who heard my prayers. I couldn't care less who heard them. I didn't care who was in the room. I was just thanking God for that little baby boy in my arms. And he lived for 2 days. And he spent every minute of them in my arms. He lived his whole life being loved and cuddled and cared for. And then he gave up the fight. Now Ashton is with Heavenly Daddy. He's in the best place. He doesn't have to go through all this stuff. He's already there. He's already rejoicing with the angels. And I'm glad for that, but I miss him. You can imagine, I miss him. What I'm saying to you is, in the middle of all that pain, in the middle of all that hurt, I gave it all to Jesus. I told him, I love you and I give it to you. I'm so glad I had this little man, and I'm so glad I'm going to meet him in eternity one day. But it hurts. But you know what? As soon as I said that, I felt God just there. And I said, God, you know what it feels like, don't you, God? You know what it feels like to see your son die. And I just suddenly felt a whole new revelation on God. He and I had shared something very, very personal and very, very intimate. He'd seen his own son die. And he knew that pain. He knew it just like I did. So I'm not trying to give you any sense of, I don't want to just lay that out there I don't know, to make you feel sad or something. I just want you to know that in the middle, it is possible to rejoice when things are going bad. I couldn't believe that 2 weeks after Ashton, I was worshiping and I had so much joy inside of me. I had so much joy. I was like, God, how can this be? I almost was thinking, am I kind of slightly weird because, you know, my baby died and I'm happy. I'm okay. I'm okay. My baby died, but I'm okay. I'm alive. And I've got a beautiful daughter and a beautiful husband and life is sweet and the sun is shining and you're my daddy. And I suddenly realized this is the joy that we can choose to have, worshiping him, being free to enjoy him, and all those wonderful things. And it doesn't take the pain away. It doesn't take the pain away, but it means that you can live. I always remember before my mum died, I decided, you know, this is my mum for you. I went out, I was pregnant, I went out. She painted like the upper section of my banister. This was the sort of thing that I look up and go, not getting up there. My 66-year-old mother went up a set of ladders and painted the top half of my house. I came back and I went, whoa, you did that? And she's like, I did that. And I remember thinking in my head, because if you'd hurt yourself and you died, I don't think I could live. That's what I'd thought in my mind. And this was 5 months before she did actually die. And God spoke to me and he said, you can live. You can live. He gave me hope. Sometimes I know that God prepares you for this kind of thing. He prepares you. He puts seeds into your life that make you go, afterwards, you look back and see there he was, because he knew what was coming. He knew what was coming down. So I really want to encourage you. It is possible to choose to rejoice. We pursue God. One of the ways we can pursue him, so we're worshiping him, we're choosing to be joyful, but by praying continuously. Now that's a little tricky because I sort of think continuously because, like, you know, there are times when I'm like, so if you don't do your homework, you're not going to get that level 4 or that A that you want. You know, I'm not praying. I know I'm not praying when I'm talking to the students at school or if I'm like, okay, let's look at this diagram up here, or when I'm doing checking in books. I'm not praying. I'm not. I know I'm not. But I was thinking about it and I was thinking, it does not mean that I'm not communicating to God, because there's sometimes in my school a little kid comes up in front of me and, oh my gosh, either they're just the cutest thing in the known universe, and I mean that from anything from the kindies right up to the grade 8s, because the grade 8s can be so cute sometimes. I mean, some of those big burly boys who don't fit in their bodies, they're so cute, bless them. And they come up in front of you and they're like, do I have any library books out? And they're really like, and I'm like, shall we have a look, shall we? Because I'm the teacher librarian, and I'm like, good luck. You're in luck. There's no books. Go, and their little faces smile, and they go, oh, great. And off they go. This is grade 8s. I love them. I love them. And, of course, there's the little kindies who are just incredibly, incredibly cute. They hand over their book, and they go, name? What's your name, darling? Your last name. What's your last name? What's your whole name? Okay. What do people call you? Okay. That's why we have book bags with their names on them and the barcode. Because after 3 months of trying to do that, I thought, this is really silly. I've got to do something else. So I get all these cute people in front of me. And there are times when God just shows me something about them. And so I don't speak it necessarily, unless it's just a word of encouragement like, oh, are you all right? Or you look happy today. But I know that God is prompting me to just think about them. And although I can't pray because I'm in the middle of my job, just thinking of them and just sending up a little thought to God, like, look after this one today. This one looks a little sad. You know, is there something I need to know about this one? Because God does that. If you're about ready to go, excuse me, why are you walking in the hallways, blah, 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 like you do when you're a teacher. Sometimes I ask God, what's the situation, God, as I'm walking up? And thank goodness I don't go, students, what are you doing? Because sometimes I'll see there's a crying person in the middle of the crowd. And so I go in there and I'll be like, oh, thank goodness I wasn't yelling and being all horrible Miss Teacher. So that is my praying continually. It's just asking God, okay, God, what's going on here? What's happening? What's this little person? Oh, this little person's cute. Thank you, God, for this little person. Thank you, God, I didn't mess up. Thank you, God, that I didn't, you know, have a bad time. Thank you, God, for leading me to the right book. Thank you, God, for giving me some information I didn't actually know. That is a really good one when you're a teacher, when God gives you information you didn't actually know. So pleased about that, because I'm like, a student asks you a question and you're like, I have no idea. Oh, and you suddenly give them the answer and you're like, wow, thanks God, because I didn't know that one. Thank you. So that's, for me, the praying continuously. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So even when the threat of lions, something nasty was there in the shape of eating machines, he continued to pray. Now, I'm not being funny, but I don't know how many of, you know, I don't pray visibly so my school can see me on a regular basis. I mean, I get together with a group of other people, but we're not like out in the middle of the foyer or on the playground or something. We're not that visible. And I know why, because, you know, it is considered not really the thing to do. I'm not afraid. There's no lions going to be eating me up. There just might be a superintendent might get a little bit ticked with me. But, you know, and I know how I am. He had three consistent times each day that he carved out of his schedule. There are so many Muslims in my school, but the one thing I really admire is that they have times of prayer. Now, not everybody does it. Like, there's a load of boys walking down, I'm going to prayer, miss. Yeah, I'm going to prayer. Well, yeah, I'm coming back from prayer, miss. I've just been to prayer. And you're like, yeah, right. But during Ramadan and Eid, you know, they're there. And there is a Muslim imam in the school, and they'll lead a prayer for the kids. Isn't that interesting? Yes, I know. it does raise a question, right? Okay, but that's what happens during Eid, and I admire that persistence of prayer. Now, the habit of praying was known to those around him, so other people knew about that, even the people who didn't like him. And of course, that was one of the reasons why he gets schlopped off to go and get eaten by lions. But as a result of his prayers, he didn't get eaten by lions. Yay! And it contributed to a supernatural event, something that goes, whoa, there is something in this guy's prayers. So sometimes, you know, I would say our obedience in prayer, even when it's looking bad, is something that provokes the supernatural. It's going to provoke something in the supernatural, whether it's a miracle in the lion's den, or whether it's just that other people will start joining you because they see something good. We pursue God when we're thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances. One of the sacrifices in the Old Testament was actually a giving thanks sort of sacrifice to show that you are thankful. And, you know, I think I've mentioned this to you before. Every night when I'm with Casey, I ask him to pray. And, you know, he's a kid. Ah, I don't know what to pray. So I say, well, what are you thankful for? And it's amazing how it all comes out. Oh, I am thankful for Sophie. I am thankful for you guys because you look after me. I'm thankful for our house. I'm thankful for hockey. I like playing hockey. And on he goes. He rambles on for about 10 minutes. There's always something to be thankful for. And if you are feeling like, bleh, find out what you're thankful for and you will not stop praying. I promise you. I'm thankful for my legs and my feet and my body working and my eyes still work and my hair that has only a little bit of grey, which is kind of cool. I've got a very cool bit of grey. I'm actually I'm proud of my little bit of grey. But I'm not too much grey. I'm thankful that I have healthy kids. You know, the list goes on. And you might think, well, isn't that, what's that? That's being thankful. This is a praise offering. And I'm not focusing on what's going wrong in my life. That comes next, because then I'll ask God, I'll petition him for stuff. Please, please, please help me in this area. But first, I'm thankful. And thanking God and giving that thankful sacrifice, you know what? It does something to you, because you can start off like this. And you start, as you're thanking him, you start to like, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then you start to smile. And before the end, you're happy. And you think, wow, I have an awesome life. And then I come out of Casey's bedroom, I'm like, check me out with the awesome life. I got an awesome life. I got a nice husband who loves me and puts up microwaves on the top of my, I'm doing well. And it changes my perspective. And it's not just a psychobabble way of getting yourself out of the dumps. It's because you've sacrificed something. You've not focused on yourself, you've focused on God, and you've thanked him for what he's given to you. Case study, Paul and Silas, Acts 16, 24 to 26. I think it was pretty bad what they were going through, okay? When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, doesn't sound good, and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay, you're in stocks, probably with a few rats running around your feet, and you're praying and singing songs. Just want you to think about that one already. I mean, because that's not my natural reaction. Like, I often think, you know, about Joseph in the cell. He was there, was it 3 years? 3 years he's in a cell? For what? For not succumbing to Potiphar's wife? 3 years, innocent man in a cell, rats running around you. Did he turn around and curse God once? No. Did he say, okay, God, about that dream I had, okay, not looking much like it now, is it? Yeah, he didn't. He just sat there and continued to praise God. I love the Joseph movie, if you ever get a chance, the little Joseph, the cartoon one. Because they do a little musical number, because, you know, I'm all about musical theater. Every opportunity is a musical theater moment. And in there, he sees a little plant growing. And during his time in the cell, he watches it grow. And then he sings this beautiful song about, you know, focusing on the good things in life. And I'm like, oh, I'm so inspired. That just could be because I'm a musical theater person. So, you know, if you don't get as inspired as me, don't worry. But that's what happened. At those moments, when all is lost and you think there's rats around my feet and I'm stuck in a cell, sing, pray, pray and sing. And the other prisoners were praying and hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Now, yeah, I mean, woohoo! Now, again, pressing in, being thankful produces joy, and that joyfulness saw a miracle. It's that thankfulness. Thankfulness and joy, and a miracle happened. There are many, many times where we sit in our stocks, and we're looking at our stocks, and we're going, well, that's nice. This is what's happening to me right now. Thanks, God. And we blame God for the stocks. God didn't put them in there. God was not a part of that, but God got him out of there. And very often we're looking at God for the problems in our lives. God does not take us out of the problem situations or out of the problem relationships or out of the problem places, but he'll see us through and he'll find freedom for us. All we have to do is seek him, pursue him, be thankful, pray to him. I wonder what Paul and Silas were thankful for. Yeah? Yeah, they must have been digging deep, right? I am really thankful for you, God. I'm really thankful for you because you're awesome. You know, it might just be that. Maybe that's the only thing you've got. But like I say, for us, we are at least able to say, thank you, God, I live in a country where I'm free and nobody's going to beat me up for being a Christian. Paul and Silas made a choice. They could have chosen and they would have been quite justified and nobody would have ever blamed them, but they probably wouldn't have heard about it if they'd sat in the dumps and gone, it's not fair. he's over there preaching and he never gets put in prison. And she's always preaching and she never gets put in prison. It's not fair. God, why are you doing this to me? What kind of character trait are you trying to pull out of me? Because I don't really want this right now. So. Okay, being thankful rubbed off on other people. You know what? Being thankful person is very charismatic. Because people like thankful people. People love being around you. And people love what you do because you turn their attentions from their problems. And when they see you being thankful, even the non-Christians and the people who have no church background or even other church backgrounds, look, sometimes say to me, you're always kind of happy, aren't you? I'm like, only when I'm not happy, yeah. I'm pretty happy, yeah. I mean, at work, they see me and they say, you're always pretty happy. And I say, well, I've got a lot of thank. I do say to them, I've got a lot to thank God about. I've got a lot of great things going on in my life. Doesn't stop me getting frustrated and cross. But I've got a lot of good things. And they kind of, I don't know, they feel happier. They go away feeling happy. Their being thankful contributed to a miracle, just like Daniel's praying did. So doing these three things is God's will. It is God's will. It's not like a magic formula. It's just God's will that we be thankful. He doesn't want us wading through the shadow of death going, I am very scared and I hate my life right now. I am very scared and this is like, oh, look at that. That's bad. That's bad. That's really, really bad. Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't like this. He wants us to go, I'm going through this. God, I know you're right with me and we can get through the other side. I don't know how, but I leave that in your department. I'm just going to keep walking. And while I'm walking, I'm going to focus on you and all the amazing things you've done. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I'm standing here. Thank you, God, that I'm getting through this thing. Thank you, God, that I'm not as scared as I thought I was going to be. That's how we go through the shadow of death. Okay? And we have a choice. And isn't it a nicer life? You know, isn't it a nicer life to go through life going, I am not looking around to the left and the right. I'm going to look straight forward and I'm going to keep my head up and I know that God loves me and that's how I'm going to live my life. Or, you clearly hate me, God. You clearly, clearly hate me, God, because why would you put me here? Because, I mean, look at this. This is awful. Oh, what a terrible life I lead. Oh, my gosh. And look at the people behind me. Oh, it's even worse. There's two choices of life. You know, we have a choice. Which one do you want? Because really, I think it boils down to those two things. Pray continuously. Rejoice always. That doesn't mean you always have to rejoice. Thank you, God, that I'm in a car crash. No. You know, no. Thank you, God, I survived the car crash. Thank you, God, that you're here with me and that although I'm afraid, I'm not afraid because you're with me. You know, thanking God through things, not because of rough stuff that happens. We don't thank God for, you know, the mortgage not being able to be paid, but we thank God that he's going to provide us with a solution for the mortgage not being paid, you know? It's like, I'm not trying to, you know, like, oh, we'll eternally be happy and we'll just pretend nothing's happening. No. We focus on what God is doing and we trust that the stuff that is really bugging us, he will give us a strategy for. Rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And a very nice life, I think you'll have as a result of that. So how can I remember to rejoice, pray, and give thanks? Well, you can schedule time in your calendar. You can actually say, you know, for some people it's as regular as when I get up 10 minutes or half an hour. When I go to bed, I will go to bed early and I'll read. When I have lunch, I go and have lunch with you, Jesus. Whatever it is. Now, some people know of Carol Arnott. She carries a little beeper with her and every 10 minutes it goes off and it reminds her to thank Jesus. I don't know if there's an app yet that does that. Mike? There is an app yet. I'm kind of looking. I've been thinking. I got an interval one and it didn't work. And you've got the actual. Oh, show it. Show the buzzer. There is an app that will vibrate or buzz. And every 10 minutes, all you do is thank you, Jesus. And sometimes that's all you'll ever get to do because you're busy in a presentation and you won't be able to stop. And then sometimes you'll be in a quiet place and you'll be able to spend more time. The third one, link your prayer to something else that you do on a routine basis. I'm just giving some examples. So if you're a showering type and you shower more than once a day or whatever, that's a good time, right? I thank you, Jesus. You know, you can be singing and it sounds awesome and, you know, everybody can hear you and you can be praying. Like link it into something else. You know, brushing teeth. Jesus, I heard you. Anything. Driving to and from school is one of my places that I like to do my praying because A, it settles me for the day and it settles me for when I come back. To me, that's dead time. I stick Kim Walker on and me and Kim Walker are having a good time. Yeah? So that's another thing. Cleaning. Some people, when I used to always, I don't, because I mean, in England, I used to wash up and pray a lot, but I don't do that because I don't wash up. I use a dishwasher, but that's what I used to do. So I haven't related it to any other cleaning yet, but I'm thinking, oh yeah, actually other cleaning. Never thought about that. I know Kate Smith does a lot of her meeting with God on the floor of her bathroom while she's doing the cleaning, the grouting. She does a lot of, she sticks the music on and she's like, love you, Jesus, cleaning the grouting. Yeah. So link it to another routine and that might be easy for you. So this is what I would like you to do. Musicians, or if you're all available, yeah. I would like us to go through a corporate ministry time. If we can all stand up together. And I want the person who rocks this particular thing. Is there anybody here who thinks they've got this down pat? They got the answer to this. I've got this pursuing God thing sorted. Okay, apart from Jay, because he's the pastor, okay? If you think you've got the pastor, okay? Then, in other words, it's all of us can pray this prayer, right? It's kind of what, except Jay, but he'll pray anyway because he's like that. I know he will. Let's just say this confession together. Because although, you know, there's places of greatness in our lives that we're doing a great job, I think there's places where we could do better. So let's just follow this confession with me. And you don't have to do it in an English accent either. I know that me doing it sometimes. Okay, Father, I'm not sure that I'm doing a good job at this part of my Christian life. Please help get this part of my life in order. Ha. So we're giving him permission. We're saying, it's okay, Jesus, to come in and shake me up a little bit. Okay. This is now what we're asking him. This is our petition to him. Father, can you help me to remember to make this a priority in my life? The answer is yes, by the way, he will. Wake me up, shake me up, stir me up. Okay, let's say that again. Wake me up, shake me up, stir me up. One more time. Wake me up, shake me up, and stir me up. Ha, amen. Oops. So, what I want us to do is just open up your hands. Because I know that God loves to spend time with us. And just, I just want you to pray this prayer with me, so that's why I'm flicking through. Here we go. It's an acknowledgement. And sometimes we have to speak to the ungodly beliefs in our lives. The ungodly beliefs in our lives say, you don't want to be thanking God. You want to be telling him how awful your life is. Or you can't just pretend to be happy, you know. You don't want to be one of those happy clappies who pretends to be happy when they're not. No, we're not talking about that. Okay? We're accepting. We understand that there's pain. We know that there's pain in the room. There's a lot of painful things that have happened to people. But what we're going to acknowledge is this. Acknowledge with me. Father, I choose to live a lifestyle of pursuing you by rejoicing, praying, and being thankful. I acknowledge that this is your will for me. Ha. Amen. Just stand and receive. And I want you to actually do this thing. I want you to start thanking God for the things in your life. I want you to start to choose. The first thing, if you can't think of anything, the first thing is you thank him for this country that allows you to meet this morning and not to be in fear of your life. And then see what comes out of your mouth after that. So just thank him and say, ha, thank you.